I heard someone the other day giving their test for healthy food. If it tastes good, it must be bad. Well, I had to smile. But you know, a lot of people choose their food only based on taste. And there's the notion that good food doesn't taste as good as junk food does. The busy lives that we lead and the desire for instant gratification have led to all kinds of unhealthy habits, some leading to binge eating and binge drinking. Have you ever heard someone say, "I'll stick to this diet even if it kills me"? Well, it doesn't have to be like that. That's not how God intended it to be. Let's put aside the popular diets, the treatments, and the fads for a moment and see what God has to say about maintaining optimum health and well-being. God is love, so He wants us to enjoy good health. So please join us as we explore this important topic. Kevin, what's wrong with our health today?
Many people think of health as an absence of disease, but I think it could be much better than that. I think God wanted it much better than that, don't you? Look, high-level wellness is the goal.
Yes.
And in the past, we've battled with communicable diseases, things you could catch from each other or drink from your water. But today we've got an epidemic, really, of lifestyle, poor lifestyle-driven diseases.
Chronic diseases. Yeah. That's what they're called, because they've taken over where we left off with infectious disease, and they've really taken over. So most of us are sick. 60% of the population's overweight and obese, which is driving diabetes, it's driving cancer rates. These are all the ills of the modern lifestyle.
And they say, I mean, you look at visits to the general practitioners, about 60 to 70% of the conditions that people are coming with are lifestyle related. Mm. Our lifestyles are unbalanced.
And that means that they're totally preventable, which is the good news. You can actually prevent most of these conditions.
We live in an age of excess, don't we, in many ways. And in some ways we've got to try and bring it back to more the original picture, the original pattern, and simpler is probably better.
So how does nutrition affect our health?
Oh, tremendously. In fact, much more than most people realise. Pretty much everything you eat affects you, either for the good or for the bad. And people often think, well, if I have a lot of good stuff and occasionally have some junk, it's going to be okay. It'll cancel it out. Well, guess what? It doesn't cancel it out. There are still harmful effects. What's really interesting now in science is we've come to the realisation that what the Bible actually taught about diet is really the best way to go. So the Bible talks about a plant-based diet, and if we look at what they were given to eat, God gave Adam and Eve in the garden a plant-based diet comprising of fruits, nuts and seeds and grains.
It's interesting that comes up in Genesis 1. It's the first chapter of the Bible. God's saying, here you go.
It's got to be
Here's
important.
Here's the food for you. This is the best nutrition for you.
That's the original.
It's the foundation for a healthy lifestyle. If you don't get your diet right, it's really hard to get the rest of it right. And what modern science now shows is that these plant-based diets are not only effective in keeping you well, preventing disease, but if you've already got, say, type 2 diabetes, if you've got arthritis, if you've got whatever condition, you can actually manage your condition better by adopting these diets.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Sue, because that's very dear to my heart. We have a research program that we run where we actually put people with chronic diseases on a 30-day intervention, we call it, where we teach them. We essentially get them back to the biblical foundations of what good health is, and a key ingredient of that is good nutrition, and we move them towards a plant-based diet. You know, we see remarkable stories. You know, I would say disease reversal.
Absolutely.
And it's not just cardiovascular disease, it's diabetes, which is running rampant.
And people thought that was impossible in the past.
Absolutely.
It was impossible to. But we know food is so powerful that the phytonutrients in food literally talk to your genes, Jeff. They can switch off genes. So if you've got the diabetes gene, if you eat the right diet, you can actually switch that gene off
and live tremendously, very
healthfully.
That is so important, isn't it?
Well, it's a new paradigm. This is very new. We're calling it epigenetics. It's on top of genetics. We know that your genes are not your destiny, and your lifestyle choices will manifest the disease states that you might experience, or as Sue's pointed out, can actually switch them off so that they're silent. We don't encounter them.
Almost food as medicine, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Right. Minimal processing, minimal packaging.
That's right. Back to whole foods as nature, as God actually intended for us because he knew what was best for us because he made us and he made us out of love.
I was going to say, if your grandmother wouldn't recognise us as a food, you probably shouldn't eat it.
That's a good point.
Darren, we could talk a lot on nutrition. It's so important, but exercise is also important, isn't it?
That's very dear to my heart. But and it's interesting, I mean, you pointed out that right at the start, God gave us these foundations for eating plant-based nutrition. That was in Genesis 1. Genesis 2, the second book of the Bible, he talks to Adam and Eve and says, hey, you know what I want you to do? It's your role to tend this garden.
This is how I want you to burn off all that energy.
Absolutely.
You can't just sit back like a couch potato.
And we've got away from that. There's a natural order to things, but we have... We know. I mean, the epidemiologists tell us that we go back 100 years, our forefathers, it's not long, 100 years ago, our forefathers were 60 to 70% more active than we are today, which is the equivalent of walking about 15 kilometres. And so we actually have many of these lifestyle-related diseases we refer to as hypokinetic. They're due to lack of activity.
Too much sitting.
That's right.
Well, yeah, that's right. And it's not just the lack of exercise, but the harmful effects of sitting for prolonged periods. And what do most of us do that work in offices, big buildings? We sit. We sit all day.
This is a really important thing because coming back 30 years ago, when we started to understand that people weren't moving enough, there was this what we call the aerobics revolution, where you had to dress up with a headband and do crazy activities.
Leotards.
I can see it like that.
I could see you like that, Kev. But what came of that is this idea that we had to do 30 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity every day.
Yes.
We now know that even those that are doing that, if they are having extended periods of sitting,
If they're sedentary for the rest of the time,
that's an independent risk factor for chronic disease.
People today go to the gym and they
think,
you know, their conscience is starved. I've done an hour in the gym today and I feel good. But you're saying that that really doesn't offset sitting around for the rest
of the
day.
That's right. And I don't want to deride. I encourage people to be as active as they possibly can. But, you know, I mean, one of the... Dan Buettner, he caught a lot of attention.
Yes, the author of Blue Zones, longevity guru.
And he had a National Geographic feature, you may remember, where he actually studied people in the world who lived for extraordinary periods of time. One group that he studied was the Adventist community in Loma Linda, around the Loma Linda region in California. And then he also looked at the Okinawa in Japan and then Sardinia in Italy.
That's right.
One of the key things that these people did is they moved continuously.
Yeah. This body
moved naturally.
Built for movement.
Moved naturally.
Built for movement.
Which is how God created us when you think about it. We were asked to move. We weren't just asked to eat or to sit and vegetate in front of this big box.
It almost takes you back to that, the sweat of thy brow.
The sweat of thy brow. That's right.
The Bible concept. Sweat it out of it.
All right, we've mentioned good nutrition so far for good health and exercise.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, you talked about exercise. Outdoors exercise is fabulous. You know, today we work away in the gym. We're putting back in a little artificially what technically should have been there naturally, which is good, but we can do better. And one of the great things is to get out into the sunlight. There's been a lot of warnings about sunlight, but now we've got a problem where people aren't getting enough to process the vitamin D and we get vitamin D deficiencies.
Yes, and in fact, in countries like Australia, people assume we all make lots of vitamin D because we've got so much sunlight.
Here.
It's sunny. But what do? We spend most of our time indoors or we cover up because we're so afraid of getting skin cancer. But vitamin D is critical. It's been linked to so many diseases now, hasn't it? All kinds of things, from type 2 diabetes to various cancers.
Depression.
I mean, it boosts your immunity. If you get sun exposure to sunlight, you make vitamin D in your skin, that boosts your immunity level. So you're actually more resistant to all kinds of things coming up.
I think we have to sound a little note that you can overcook it very quickly.
You know,
get a rotisserie
going. You've got to get that balance, don't
Not
you?
Not out in the middle of the day.
No.
None of this lying in the sun for extended periods of time.
But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, so get enough.
To get enough. It's just that you should do it regularly. So if it's summer when it's really hot, as little as 6 to 8 minutes, but before the, sort of the heat of the day and
earlier,
after,
later.
Before 11 a.m., say, and after 3, that's all it really takes, just to expose your arms and your legs. And so you're going to make more vitamin D.
But it's a real tonic to be in the sunlight. You know, you get countries where there's just not enough sun and people get so depressed and
I mean, there is that the condition they call SAD,
seasonal
affective disorder. That's right. And we know that in, you know, some countries that are very north and they get that limited sunlight, you know, that the rate of depression, the rate of suicide is very
high.
Because
how do they treat them? They put them under lamps, artificial sunlight lamps. And speaking of getting this sunlight, some of our folks, of course, are older people in nursing homes and institutions. Do they get any sunlight? Usually not. They might be put next to a window and, you know, told, well, enjoy some sunlight. But what's important to know is actually only about 5% of the UVB rays, which are the ones that help you make vitamin D, get through the glass, penetrate. So you actually need to get out into nature to breathe the fresh air and get that sunlight.
Or if you're in old people's home, sit on the veranda.
That's right.
In the sunshine.
Otherwise, it's a bit sad, as you said.
Well, so far we've discussed good nutrition, exercise, sunshine. What else?
Well, fresh air goes with the sunshine.
Fresh air is really important. You know, we are exposed to so many pollutants now. We breathe in all kinds of particles, and that is linked to increased rates of lung cancer, increased rates of asthma. Just ask anyone who has asthma when they move in closer to the city centre, or, you know, to where most of the pollution is, or near somewhere where there are coal mines.
I lived outside of Sydney for a while, and I came back into Sydney and I get a headache. And I think it's all that pollution. You sort of get adjusted to it and you think, hey, that's normal, that's the way it's supposed to be, but it's not. And many people are concerned about the environment, but then they go and suck on a chimney.
That's right.
And, you know, just draw that in. The Bible talks about God breathing into man the breath of life. I'm a little concerned about these breaths of death. very toxic substances. Look, it will come back to hurt you if you keep doing that sort of thing.
And that's not what God designed.
No. You know, to my mind, this notion of sunlight and pure air, or, you know, good air, is actually part of a bigger picture, and that is that there is a natural environment that we are designed to inhabit. And, you know, when God talks about to Adam and Eve about working the garden and immersing yourself in that space, well, we have a situation where we create artificial at every level. We're exposed to artificial light, where we have concrete jungles, these cities that we live in. We know in children that aren't exposed to the natural environment enough, we're actually coining the term NDD. They have this condition called nature deficit disorder, which is associated with emotional disturbances, learning difficulties. So, you know, there's wisdom in what God's saying right at, you know, at day dot, saying immerse yourself in the space that I've created, this garden. It's therapeutic, it's powerful for health and for healing.
It's such a problem because we've got small screen addiction now.
Oh, that's right.
It's not the world out there, it's the world inside the monitor that they're tending to live.
Yes.
And it's creating all sorts of problems, not only physical but emotional, social and spiritual, I think.
Well, socially, I mean, you know, we have you know, statistics telling us that so many people nowadays feel lonely. You know, and they don't have that social connection. We have situations where people work in a city block and they email the person only two desks away from them. You know, there's something that happens when we disconnect
those.
It's
not good for man to be alone.
It's not good for man to be alone.
To be together. Yeah. And that's the one, some of the bonds. And sometimes exercise together is a motivating factor, isn't it?
Yes.
And exercise in the fresh air and with the sunlight. You see, all these things actually come together.
There's a synergy.
And they're not that difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and where science fits in with all of this, science is not really coming up with fantastic new solutions. Yeah. Science is just rediscovering what God originally intended.
And nutrition particularly, you know, which is your expertise, is an area that fascinates me, that we hear the latest report that blueberries are great for your health, and it's like, whoa!
Can you believe it?
And they have all of these chemicals in there, you know, these phytoestrogens, and you think,
good for your brain.
And we get all excited about this, and it's interesting.
But they would have been around in the Garden of Eden. They were fruit.
Absolutely. And to come back to this notion of an artificial environment, and you touched on the idea that we do this with nutrition. You know, we discover and we develop the technologies to detect a particular phytoestrogen in a blueberry.
That's right, a particular compound, and to isolate and extract it and say, this is the guy that's responsible, so let's add it to everything else. And then we discover years later,
it's the combination.
That wasn't the guy responsible. And in fact, that's harmful, because this is what we've discovered now. In isolation, nutrients can actually be really, really harmful, as can supplements. But when you take the whole food, you get this natural matrix as God intended it to be, so that it gives you all that you need but it doesn't harm you.
Now, how important is water in good nutrition?
I'm feeling thirsty. Yeah. Okay. All of a sudden. Cheers.
This isn't good English, but everybody ought to drink water.
This is true. I think water is kind of the forgotten food.
Yes.
It's a beverage, but it's really a food too. It's forgotten because people assume all fluids are the same. Oh, but I drink 6 cups of coffee, or I take sports drinks or whatever. These things don't all have the same effect on the body, and that's really key to this conversation. Water's important for so many things. We all know it's good for the skin, for hydration.
All the way down to the cellular level, isn't it? Everything's conducted by water.
Prevents, constipation, keeps things moving, prevents headaches, kidney stones. If anyone's ever had kidney stones, they'll tell you how important water is. You've got to flush those kidneys. Water's critical, but the area to me that really caught my attention some years ago was when the Adventist Health Study first discovered that people who drink 5 glasses of water a day or more, so this is, I'm not sure what number I'm up to now.
I'm going to have a just remind.
Everyone's sort of parched as she speaks.
Compared to 2 or less, and 5's not that much, they had a 50% lower risk of heart attack.
That's an amazing
It is an amazing
From just simple water.
5 glasses reduces their possibility of heart attack by 50%.
By 50%.
In fact, that same study demonstrated that not drinking enough water was more harmful for your heart than smoking.
Yeah.
Wow.
That blows you away, doesn't it?
Water's important. Mm. Water's critically important. And all these other fluids are not the same. So sometimes people will tell you, well, I drink enough because when I add up my juices, when I add up everything, it works to the same level. But it doesn't, because when you look at the effect of these other fluids, they sometimes have negative effects. So let's take juice, for example. Who likes juice? Mm. Most people enjoy a glass of juice. But if you go more than a glass a day, a fruit juice has been well shown now, as well as other sugary drinks, to actually drive weight gain, drive obesity in kids, in adults. It's packed in calories. I mean, how many oranges does it take to fill a glass of juice?
Well, the sports drinks for me are comical because, I mean, obviously in the exercise industry, we encourage people to go and be active, and so they front up to the gym, and most people who are going to, females who are going to the gym are going there to lose weight. And so they front up and they know that they've learnt the lesson they need to keep well hydrated. So they purchase their sports drink.
Yeah.
They don't recognise that it will take them about 40 to 45 minutes of brisk walking to burn off the calories, the energy in that bottle of drink. For one drink. So they might get on the treadmill, and if they're diligent and do half an hour of their brisk walking and consume this while they go, they're actually walking out with more energy on board than they
worse than they can. They all right.
That's right.
Any of you had a Volkswagen car? You know, years ago they had an air-cooled engine.
We're not that old.
But then they went to a water-cooled engine
because
it was more efficient. And I often say to people, this body is a water-cooled machine. It's not actually a coffee-cooled machine. Mm. You know, it's a water-cooled machine. It does best when it's running on water.
Mm. So 5 a day minimum. But, of course, if you can do your 6 to 8, great. But no one should not try to get up to 5. 5 is really quite realistic when you spread it out once upon rising, at each kind of meal or after each meal.
I'm going to have a bit more of
it's not hard to fit in 5, but you've got to think about it because the other fluids will creep in and you'll think, oh, well, I'm not thirsty. I've just had a juice or I've had a coffee or I've had whatever people drink.
Yes, particularly with the caffeine, the body's trying to filter that out.
And that's right, it needs more water to help flush that out.
So what we've said so far is good nutrition, good exercise, sunshine,
air,
water. What else?
Rest. The importance of rest. And there's different types of rest, of course, isn't there? There's the sleep rest, and there's the
big problem, the
R&R rest. Lack of sleep is killing people. It's now a risk factor for obesity. It's a risk factor for multiple diseases. Mm. Whoever would have thought lack of sleep could make you fat? It does.
And part of the reason for it wasn't a problem 100 years ago, but now we have artificial light. We have artificial stimulation. Our iPads and all these devices.
Come to bed with us, the iPhones.
Checking email. The estimate is that we get about an hour and a half less sleep nowadays than we did 100 years ago.
Wow. So we are robbed. We're actually robbed of another natural medicine, if you like, another lifestyle medicine that's critical for well-being, critical. And God had actually intended us to have adequate rest.
Yeah. Yes, because I guess when you think about it, it's logical. Go back a generation or two, a few generations, and they didn't have electric lights. So what did you do?
He went to sleep.
You used to story for a while around the fire.
Yes.
And then people would sort of drop off and they're asleep.
Yes.
And then when the chooks started crowing, you got up. And generally it was much longer, as you said, it was much longer than we sleep today.
And we would still do that these days. You know, you actually do get tired by the evening. Mm. And if all the lights were off, if it was dark in the house, you'd actually be quite happy to, you know, cozy up and, you know, in bed. But you don't. You keep yourself going. You push yourself. And that's why people have to, you know, rely on things like caffeine to keep going all day long, because they're pushing themselves against, they're not listening to their signals, to the body cues. You know, when they need to have rest, they should have rest.
You know, one of the elements for me, and this goes right back once again to Genesis, the very early stages, and it relates to rest. And I think this is a principle that, by and large, people have completely ignored. And it relates, it's the most, to me, the most powerful remedy for work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And that is this whole idea of a Sabbath, you know, of actually taking one day off. And God, even God said, hey, you know what, I'm going to do this. This is how important this is for me. I want to give you a model to live by. For those people who can do that, I actually believe if society at large embraced the concept of having one guilt-free day off a week, then, you know, remove the religious element away from it, it would revolutionise.
It would benefit so many people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's not the 4 hours. It's not you need to take off 4 hours or I'll just go shopping and I'll rest. That's not rest.
No.
It's actually a full 24 hours that the Bible talks about, a full 24 hours.
And it's a time
hours.
When we nurture our physical health, our social health, our relationships,
spend
our
time
spirituality.
With family and friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mental health.
It's powerful.
Yes. It's actually a break for the brain. We just live in a hyper society where it's go, go, go. You know, if you're not rushing, it almost feels...
And it's getting faster and faster, have you noticed it?
Look, the rate of change in my mother's lifetime, there are more, and stress has to do with adapting to change, more changes in all the preceding lifetimes stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, so part, if ever it was needed, I know it was given in Genesis, but if it was ever it was needed, it is now.
It's needed now, and that's a really good point because, you know, as you pointed out earlier, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 give us all these principles.
Yes.
And how long ago was that?
Long
it's
time.
Almost as if God knows how we work best.
I wonder why.
You know, it's interesting on that very thing, on the early chapters of Genesis, you know, we've been talking about this big epic story.
Yes.
This great war that's going on. Isn't it interesting that the devil, in trying to attack us, has made people believe that the Genesis story is a fairy tale.
That's right. Yeah.
See? And so people don't take it seriously because well, why would you? It's just an allegory.
Yeah.
And yet what we are finding here, what I'm hearing you experts all say, is that the closer we can get back to that story in Genesis...
According to science.
Yeah.
Science is actually showing the closer we can get back, the better off we are.
Marvellous. I think that's wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
The more natural the function, the more in tune with God. You know, in the concept of Genesis, we're now living in a world that's not the way God wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. It's not what he gave us originally. Mm. Things have changed. We're a world this side of sin.
Yes. Mm.
So it is a challenge. There are challenges for our health, but there is so much that we can do to load, the dice in our favour, if we're saying, or
and
reduce the risk.
The benefits, Kevin, of course, as we know here, the benefits can start to show themselves immediately. You don't have to follow this way of life for 2 years before you start feeling better. You start feeling better instantly.
Yes.
Within 2 weeks, we show changes
That's
in your
wonderful.
Body. You know, markers of inflammation come down when you start including whole grains and more vegetables and fruits. And people just tell us, I just feel great. Mm. This is great. And I can't eat all this food. How can you eat all this food? I'm eating more now than ever before, but I'm losing weight.
Yes, wonderful.
That's a bit of a take-home message, isn't it? Because we used to think, oh, you know, years and years. But the take-home message today seems, hey, even one meal can make a difference.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kevin, I just want to ask you, what about anxiety? Because that's a big issue today.
Oh, anxiety, depression and all the flow on is a huge issue. And I think it's partly that we're in a world that's so unnatural. We aren't getting that sense of calm. Remember Christ said, come unto me. The Bible says, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden.
Yes.
I will give you peace.
Yes.
That's what people are missing in their life, that sense of peace. Comes back to the Sabbath too, doesn't it? The time of peace.
But they're searching for it. People are now starting to ask a lot of questions and they're wondering why. Yeah. What is it that's missing? I've tried this, I've tried that. There's something still missing in my heart.
Yeah. And I think that brings us to a spiritual dimension too because anxiety, look, I know, I don't know whether you're a worrier or not, but worry is the habit of responding with anxiety.
Yeah.
It's often taught before the age at which it's often caught, I should say, before the age at which it can be taught. This is the way mum responded. Mm-hmm. This is the way grandma responded. So there's so much we can do to address that through a spiritual faith.
So once again in this great epic story, God wants us to be healthy. But we have noticed that the villain wants us to be destroyed. And so this villain in this great controversy theme has kept back these simple rules to good health from us. Good nutrition, regular exercise, water, 6 to 8 glasses perhaps, sunshine, air, temperance, rest, and trust in God. These are the great 8 principles of good health. Reminds me of that verse over in the Epistle of John here, just before the book of Revelation is the little book of John, the 3rd letter he wrote. And verse 2, this is what he says, listen, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You know, for many years I didn't understand that there was a great relationship between my physical health and my spiritual. But here this verse says that one is just as important as the other. Because you think about the last time that you felt not 100%. Did you feel like praying? Did you feel like reading the Bible? Probably not. That's why God wants us to have optimum health. He wants us to have the absolute happiness in this world. And I would like to commend to you that you get to study these principles. Let's just bow our heads together in prayer. Our wonderful Father in heaven, I just thank you again for the wonderful counsel that you have given in your word. I thank you for the fact that you are interested in our health and our physical life as well as our spiritual. And Lord, help us to make a decision in our hearts today that we are going to put these principles, these habits into practice so that we will be more healthy and that we will reflect your love and bring glory and honor to your name. Bless us to this end and keep us faithful. Keep us studying, I pray, until Jesus comes, for Christ's sake. Amen.